this evening, if you'll be turning with me to the Gospel of Luke in the 16th chapter. I want to begin reading with you tonight at verse 19. The Gospel of Luke in the 16th chapter, and we'll begin at verse 19. There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. So it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And being in torments in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Then he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and you are tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from there pass to us. Then he said, I beg you, therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house. For I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Abraham said to him, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, No, Father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent. But he said to him, If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rise from the dead. I want to begin by asking you a question this evening. I want to know, have you ever stood at the bedside of one that has departed from this life and wondered what was going on in their mind? You know, I've stood at the bedside of loved ones, those near and dear to me, and as death approached, I couldn't help but wonder what was going on in their mind. And then I've often thought about what was it they experienced the moment they died. Just at that moment when the soul left the body, what went through and what was their experience? And I don't know of a better place to find out what happens after death than in the book of Luke and the 16th chapter. Because here we find two men that died, and we see exactly what they discovered the moment they departed this life. And if we note in the book of Luke in the 16th chapter, there was no period of soul sleeping. We can see exactly what happened at that moment. And for just a few moments, what I like to discuss is what men discover after death. The first thing I recognize from the Gospel of Luke and the 16th chapter is that after death, one comes to find out that death does not end it all. The very first thing they discovered is the fact that death is not the end, but just the beginning of eternity. This is contrary to the theories handed down by men that believe that death is the end of all things. But in the book of Luke in the 16th chapter, it is revealed that both of these men discovered the moment they died that it's not the end. If you take your Bible in Luke 16, notice, if you will, verse 22, that Lazarus had found himself carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. Death did not fully end it for that man, but now his soul is in a place of comfort. And then if you take your Bible, notice the rich man died, and now his soul is in a place of torment. God has placed the soul. Now, I want us to understand the day of judgment has not yet occurred. It won't occur until that final day. But God, who has the right to place the soul, places one in a place of comfort and the other in a place of torment. So Job's question in Job 14:14, if a man dies, shall he live again? I'll tell you, that's exactly right. Because the soul will be reunited with the body, this new body, and it will live eternally. But now the soul has been placed. The soul is not sleeping, the soul is conscious. Whether it be in heaven or in torment, the soul has been placed until it's reunited for the judgment day. They discovered that death does not end it all. But the second thing I think we recognize is that God knows their lives. The very moment they died, they discovered that God knew about their lives on earth. The rich man had to answer for his wrongs, and I want us to understand that's important. And I want us to understand that God keeps a book. If you take your Bible this evening, turn with me to the Revelation letter and the 20th chapter. In Revelation chapter 20, you remember the statement in verse 12. And this is talking about when that great judgment day comes. Paul had said in 2 Corinthians 5:10, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ." And now John says in Revelation 20 and 12, "I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books." God has a record. God knows what we've done. And any sin that's not been repented of, any sin that's not been blotted out, has been recorded. And everyone that is in the book of life, their name has been recorded. Oh, I would that I could get that thought through our minds tonight. You know, not too long ago, I was looking through a book, and it talked about the great preachers. And I looked through that book, and you know, I didn't find my name one time in that book. And I looked through again, and you know, I didn't see your name, Brother Frank. It wasn't in there either. And I thought, well, there must have been some oversight. But you know, my friend, I may never have my name in a book here. But I don't want my name to be left out of the book of life. And what they discover is after death, that God had kept a record. But I'll tell you a third thing that was discovered, and this was discovered by the rich man. He had discovered that for sure Satan had lied to him. Satan had lied about the fact that you can leave God out of your life and get by with it. That you can just live the way you want to live and that God will not care, that God will overlook sin, God won't judge sin. I'll tell you, that is a lie of the devil. I'll tell you that there are many people tonight all around Shreveport, Tennessee, that are believing the lie that they don't need to do what God has told them to do. As we pulled in, I asked my wife, as we'd watched car after car go by tonight, I said, I wonder what's on the mind of people in Shreveport when they see us pull into worship. And I'll tell you, I believe that on the mind of a lot of people is everything about this world and nothing about God. And I'll tell you why. Satan has lied to him. If you take your Bible and turn to the book of John in the 8th chapter, you remember what Jesus had said about Satan in John 8:44. He, talking to the Pharisees at that time, said, "You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do." He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there's no truth in him. Well, why? He's a liar. And when he speaks, he speaks a lie. He speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. You know, there are people tonight that think about obedience. They think about obeying God, and they say, well, I'll do it some other time. They believe the lie of the devil that you'll just have another day, when every day we wake up, someone didn't make it through the night. And with every rising of the sun, before the sun sets, someone has died that day. People believe the lies of the devil. And I'll tell you what's sad is when we don't discover that till after death. But I'll tell you, there's a fourth thing. In your Bible, in the book of Luke, in the 16th chapter, I want us to understand that there is a literal fire in hell. I realize that scholars come along and mock at preachers who teach this. And yet, my friend, in verse 23, my mind is brought back to what Jesus said when he said, "And being in torments in Hades, he lifted up his eyes." And then in verse 24, he asked that Lazarus may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because he said, "I'm tormented in this flame." Look at that flame. That man is going through eternal damnation, and that man is going through the fire of hell. I'm sure this man had been told there's no such thing as fire, or at least he believed there was no fire, and eternal torment. But notice now he says, "I'm tormented in this flame." People want to remove the fire from hell, but the man found out that there's a literal fire there. there's eternal death, eternal pain, eternal destruction. That you are being away from God who gives all good things. That hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. It's a place of punishment. And in that place of punishment is eternal fire, eternal pain, eternal death. Now some people don't want to believe that. Some preachers come along and say, well, hell will eventually end and the hell's not eternal. That's not what the Bible says. In Matthew 25:41, it talks about those who go on to eternal life and those who go to everlasting destruction. Both are eternal. If heaven is everlasting, so is hell. But I'll tell you something else. In your Bible, in the book of Luke, in the 16th chapter, that man discovered that after death, you retrain your memory. That the power to remember was left to this man after death. Look at what Abraham says to him in verse 25. Abraham said, son, remember. You ever thought about in hell that you'll have a memory? And that's another form or part of suffering for the unrighteous beyond death. They will remember. They will remember every opportunity they had to obey the gospel but didn't do it. They will remember the opportunities they had to come back to God but didn't do it. They will remember every opportunity they had to do good and didn't do it. In here, he remembers his five brothers who were lost. He remembered that they were on the way to the place he was. And notice what he asked of Abraham, that Lazarus would go and tell them not to come to this place. I've had people act like wherever their loved one is, that's where they want to be. If your loved one's in hell, my friend, they don't want you there. Notice that he asked for Lazarus to go back and keep his loved ones from going to that place of torment. So when someone tells me that if they're lost, their loved one's lost, then that's good for them. They'll go there too. They haven't read Luke 16. He remembered his loved ones. And all this was the moment after death. He will remember the times he had the opportunity to make his life right, didn't do it. An opportunity he had to have influence on loved ones and didn't do it. See, the rich man wasn't lost because he was rich. And Lazarus wasn't saved because he was poor. The rich man was lost because he left God out of his life. And Lazarus was saved because he followed the will of God. But that brings up another thought. The moment after death, that man discovered he missed the greatest thing. The greatest thing offered to man on this earth. And that's not riches. That's not wealth. That's not prestige. That's not fame. It's to be saved from your sin. Open your Bible to the book of Matthew in the 16th chapter. In Matthew 16, Jesus asked a great question. In Matthew 16 and verse 26, Jesus said, "For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul?" In other words, what do you gain? What is your profit? What will be the net worth if you gain the whole world and lose your soul? Jesus is saying it's no gain. If you lose your soul, it doesn't matter what you gained on the earth. You could gain everything, and that's impossible. But if you gained all power, all prestige, all finances, and yet lose your soul for eternity, it doesn't matter what you gained in the short time. And then he asked another question. What will a man give in exchange for his soul? What would you trade your soul for? And that man discovered after death, he missed out on the greatest thing offered. One last thing in the lesson, Jesus. The moment after death, that man discovered all opportunities are gone. I'm sure he'd give anything to get out of that burning fire. But he found out the moment after death that hell is eternal. And it was too late. And you think about what the young beggar, what the beggar had gained after death. He had gained eternal life. He had gained opportunity to be in a place of comfort. But all opportunities were gone. And what I'd like for us to do as we think about it tonight is take the time to see what all the beggar was able to moment to see right after death. And think about what the rich man discovered right after death. And think about, where do I want to be for eternity? I end with this question that we started with. except I want to change it a little bit. What will be going through your mind when death comes? And what will you experience the moment the soul leaves the body? Have you ever thought of that? The moment the heart quits, the moment you don't breathe anymore, the moment that there is no more breath in the body and the soul has left, what will you discover for eternity? Because I'll tell you what you'll find one moment after you die where you're going to spend eternity. And what we need to do is prepare that we may be with God. If you're here and you need to obey the gospel, you need to be baptized into Christ or be restored to Christ, we pray you come as together we stand and sing.